The other people I would really like to just note today, because they were here yesterday as well, is Ralph and Sybil Kleiner over there. They're from Sydney, and Ralph is one of two or the most three Australians who's actually climbed Mount Carstens in West Papua. He's a mountaineer. He's not a human rights person or a whatever else we are today. He's a mountaineer. And so he climbed Mount Carstens in 2001, and he and his wife, Sybil, who's also a rock climber, came down from Sydney to speak at our forum yesterday. So I just wanted to say that thank you so much for coming. Wonderful. Ralph is actually a lawyer in Sydney, and I'm sure after yesterday, his stories and his physical love for the mountain, because these mountain men, love their mountain and want to protect them. Mountaineers all over the world often set up things to protect the mountains that they love. And he loves Carstens, probably not for all the reasons that other mountain men love their mountains. He said yesterday, his pictures and his stories yesterday, he said, were completely different. It was a completely different experience in West Papua climbing that mountain to all the others he's climbed in Chile, we've got a list, Nepal,
Argentina,
Africa. These are all big mountains, they're not hills. These are huge, the biggest in the continent. Mount Carstens, all the climbers go there. You've got a little, if you're a climber, you've got this career path to climb the highest mountain in each continent. And our Mount Carstens, West Papua's, is the highest in Australasia. So that's why these mountain men go there. And as he said yesterday, he, like all the other mountain men, go there as political novices. They just go there, climb this thing. I mean, let's not get into all the details of how difficult it is. It's a great feat by itself, but they don't get involved in people's lives because it's normally above the area normally where most people live, where they start to climb and then shoot for the summit. So his was completely different to all the other mountains that he's climbed because of his pretty heavy experiences with Freeport security and the Indonesian military. So it's a mountain Ralph said he will never forget. And it's why 14 years later he just said yes when we found him and jumped on a plane and came down here to speak yesterday at our forum. Since he is a lawyer of some distinction, I'm sure he's probably ready now after a weekend in Melbourne to lead a posse to the criminal court in The Hague, but we'll see about that. But today he's got an easier job. He's actually here to auction the proof copy of Lance's novel, A Dowry for the Sultan. So, big hand for Ralph. And we'll just bring it out here. Hope someone's got their cash ready. This is a proof copy. If we were Sotheby's rather than the Federal Republic of West Papua, you know, we'd have huge sums of money for something like this, or a Wagner opera, you know, those originals. That looks different because we work on computers these days. But Ralph, now you're not experienced as an auctioneer.
Well, actually, this is the first time in my entire life that I'm doing this. So it's got to be the best. It's the, you know, I've just got to achieve the peak and the summit of this auction.
Tell us a story to get us going, because we need to start feeling
deep
in our pockets. We've got a story.
A story about
anything,
about auctioneer.
Anything, an auctioneer. losing a court case. What about losing a court case? Winning a court case? Getting to the summit of Carstens?
Let me just think.
None of these ones here were here yesterday.
Nobody here. Okay. Look, just very briefly that I'll just mention the summit of Carstens, because the reason that it was so special is because we couldn't get there. When we arrived at Temeca in West Papua, just on the coast, we were supposed to go by helicopter, which was requisitioned by the army. We were told that it was because the pilots didn't want to go to 3,800 metres. It was quite clear that it wasn't available. But our guides found another way of achieving it, and that was to, in the dead of night, get us through in military vehicles, which were which had darkened windows. We had our beanies, there were eight of us, down, and so we would appear to be army people, and we went straight up the river from near the river. There's a road that goes straight up to the mine. We actually stopped at the town of 18,000 people at the mine and were ushered very secretly into a room for a few hours while four-wheel drive vehicles, massive four-wheel drive vehicles came, because the whole mine site is a bog. It is so wet up there. You have no idea. It's sort of like the highlands of PNG, the same kind of very, very dense fog, dense wetness. And from there we went in four-wheel drives right through the mine, through the tunneling. We could see where they were working, and the mine was operational. It's 24 hours a day, every day of the week. And that's how we got there. And then we got up and got onto just above the mine site, up a gully, and to the zebra wall, which is the first camp. And then you go to the base camp. We reversed that process on the way back. We had a few issues. But the final point I just want to make about that story was that when we actually got back to Temeke after this whole process, we thought, and we hadn't slept for 2 nights climbing, we thought now we can just luxuriate. There was a Sheraton, the Americans had built a Sheraton hotel, beautiful pool. We thought we'd just stretch out there. And lo and behold, our guide rushes in. You've got to get your gear. In fact, we didn't even have our gear. Hadn't come down the mountain yet. And get the hell out. Because what had happened is some army people, maybe Lance, you could appreciate this type of thing, some had not been told, bribed, paid off, consulted, and some had. And the ones that hadn't, it had leaked that there were these people that had breached the security of Freeport and had got through all these checkpoints under army disguise. So we fled to the airport. I can't tell you, just that we'd been booked on the plane almost immediately. And you sort of was in the motor car looking behind you, waiting for those vehicles to be chasing you. You felt like you were in a movie. And finally, onto the tarmac, into the plane, still watching. I could sort of, you know, the Humphrey Bogart, Casablanca type end, waiting for the army, and we flew out and out of West Papua and to our relief back to Jakarta. But I must tell you, it certainly gave me a deep interest and a deep concern for West Papua and the type of the terrible situation that exists in that country and that is now perpetuated. And I realized for the first time to what a degree this mine, this massive, it's one of the biggest copper gold mines in the world, plays in that whole occupation, the whole process that takes place in that country. And that's going to be one of the most difficult problems to overcome, I think, in getting towards an independent West Papua. It's a mammoth mine and it continues to produce. And I understand, in fact, that there's some many, many more discoveries. Nature can be pretty cruel and destructive. To find that amount of gold and copper in that most beautiful, delicate part of the world is a terrible thing, really. Could have been somewhere in the desert somewhere. But to be up there, it's a great tragedy. And men and people want to exploit it. That's what's happening, and destroying the environment. So I hope that leads into the dowry for the Sultan.
Just the perfect segue.
Well, you've all seen that wonderful picture. It's a very romantic picture, isn't it? And it's a great history. And it's, as is described, I'll just read the words. It's a book that's riveting pathos, heroism, victory over good. No, it's not over good. It's of good over evil. So, and it's all things that make a great book and a good reading. Now, this is an amazing thing because it's not the book, it's the proof.
Yes, that's it.
So this is a collector's item, a once and forever collector's item. So especially people here who love collector's items, this is it. So now, who would like to open the bidding? Anyone? Yes. $50.
Right.
Well, wow, Okay. And remember, by the way, all the proceeds go to the West Papua Women to promote the interests of West Papua. So it's a great cause.
Okay. Are you calling them or me? You keep chatting because you're good at that. You're a lawyer. Yes.
$60. $60. Okay, what am I bet? That's 60. We're only starting. Let's get going.
Yes, fantastic.
Okay, who's next?
70.
Yes.
80. Can't I have 100 somewhere?
Oi!
90.
What did you say, 90?
100. 100. We've got 100 there.
Oh, the Papuans know what's good for them. 100 bucks. 100 bucks from the leader. 100.
100. I've got 100. I've got two now. Two and 100. I need something a little bit more than that.
Bougainville's mind's open or closed? Closed. Keep going, couple one. Yours is open.
110. Just $10.
110?
Between friends.
Really? Fantastic.
Who's 110?
He's from Ballarat.
Bikey. Bikey from Ballarat. Yes. Okay. We can't let Ballarat win. I mean, really. This is Melbourne.
In the Red Collective, yes. Okay. What about
120. 120. Oh, fantastic.
They won the book, man. Okay.
A collector's item, never to be repeated. Yeah.
130.
130. Wow. Now we're starting to talk.
And he knows his stuff. He was an East Timor activist. Got that country free. Fantastic.
So this is a great piece of history and a great proof to have of the whole book.
Any more?
130. Can I have 140? I'll settle for 150, okay. 150? All right, we're still at 130. Anybody? Okay, going once.
Last chance.
135.
135. Okay, 135. Yes. Okay, now up to 140. Now we're getting into the real stuff.
This is heavy.
140.
You in? Out?
Go up. One more chance.
No?
Anyone? Okay. Going once.
What are you
going
to next
do for me? One, I could say one, 200. Okay, 145. We'll play it in fives.
Okay,
150, we've got to get 150. That's kind of a nice feel to it, doesn't it? Won't break the bank.
It comes with this box, look.
The box alone is worth 50 bucks.
Thank you. It's got a little clip. Pop up. And the picture and all that.
Is the author going to sign it?
Oh, absolutely.
Not far enough. How do you
Lance will sign it with a nice secret, message.
In secret, behind the closed doors. Okay? Now, what's that worth? More?
Okay, so we've got 145 over here. Anyone? 150. 150. I'll take 150. No? Yes, we've got 150. Fantastic.
Yeah.
150 going once.
155.
155, yes, this is fantastic. This is much better than climbing Castan. Okay, 155. 160? 160. It's all going to a great cause. This could almost get the case to The Hague.
And that is, what, moment? No, not moment. Place, role in our history. That's in the book. It's embedded. It's embodied. What else? That's the other word we can use. Describe this book.
So 160.
It's a great read. She's read more books than God knows who, that woman there. And she loved it. Yeah. Well, 160 now.
No, we're 155, but I'm looking for 160. Anyone? Okay, then. 155 going once. 155 going twice. All done. Going three times.
front. What a hero you are.